Good morning. You're tuned in to Connect FM on 96.7 or 99.7, whichever you prefer. You're listening to The Contact Program. I'm Pat Shea. I'll be your host on The Contact Show. This is probably the most important race in our local election. Whoever is elected Common Pleas Court judge will serve a 10-year term. Then they'll have the option of running for a retention election, which would basically allow that person to have another 10 years just by being asked to vote yes or no on retaining them. So we'll pretty much be electing this judge for potentially 20 or even 30 years, starting with our vote on November 4th. It's vital that we all learn as much as we can about these two candidates as possible. The winner will handle court issues for us for as long as 30 years. Divorces, custody issues, property, and other legal disputes will all be handled in part with this judge. We must take this election for Common Pleas Court judge seriously. Our guests today are Josh Maines and Ryan Sayers. Josh and Ryan, thank you for coming.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you, Pat, for moderating this, and thank you, Connect FM.
Very welcome. Thank you both for coming. We're going to get right into the questions after this message.
Hi, folks. Are you having problems with your child at home? Is their behavior a problem? Are you at your wit's end? If so, call us for more information. Community County Services. We provide family-based mental health. Call for information at 371-8066. We work to help you keep your family together in a healthy way. Community County Services, 371-8066.
Good morning again. We're on The Contact Show, and today we're interviewing the two candidates for Clearfield County Court of Common Pleas judge. We're going to start with candidate Josh Maines. Our first question: what would you say are the benefits as you see them for Clearfield County to implement a drug court?
Thank you, Pat. Yes, yeah, so I believe it can be very beneficial, if done effectively, for Clearfield County to implement a drug treatment court program. If you look at our criminal caseload, addiction, and mental health, I believe put a significant strain on the system. So a treatment program can do well to be able to start to alleviate that strain and get to the root of the problem, break the cycle of addiction, which can also break the cycle of crime. So yes, I've been longtime supporter of having a drug treatment program in Clearfield County. I believe if done effectively, it can work. You know, it should incentivize treatment. The oversight should be close, and it should be intensive. I've had the experience of having several clients over several counties involved in treatment court programs, and I've seen programs that work, and I've seen programs that have not worked out so well. But it's those programs that incentivize treatment that work really well. Seeing that experience, I have seen great success stories. And I can also say I've been on the other side of that. My family and so many other families in this county have struggled through having family members, close friends addicted with addiction and overdose. So we want to see more success stories. This type of a program is something that can help.
Thank you. And Ryan Sayers, same question. What are the benefits as you see them for Clearfield County to implement a drug court?
Thank you, Pat. Since I ran for district attorney in 2019, I've been an advocate for a drug court in Clearfield County. And the statistics are clear that those that successfully complete a drug court are less likely to reoffend. That means we have more productive members of society, less people out there purchasing from drug dealers. The criminal justice system is not a revolving door for these individuals. We save lives and also saves on the taxpayers. Those addicted to these substances get a chance with court supervision to get clean and change their lives, to break that cycle of addiction. To be clear, though, the program is for the users and not the dealers, and they will be obviously punished accordingly. In 2020, I got drug court programs from across the Commonwealth and created a program, manuals, policies, procedures, with input from different organizations and stakeholders. Additionally, myself and the commissioners sued the opioid manufacturers and agreed to pay for the drug court out of those settlement proceeds. So implementing a drug court won't cost the taxpayers any money to implement. However, as of today, we're still waiting on the president and judge's signature to start that program. And thankfully, Judge Cherry has indicated his willingness to sign off on the drug court once he becomes president judge in January. In the interim, luckily, I was able to start the Law Enforcement Treatment Initiative program for low-level first-time offenders without the need for court approval, and we've had success with our graduates from that program, and they've not reoffended. So these types of programs are proven to work, and we really need them here in Clearfield County.
Thank you. Ryan, I'll ask you the next question as well.
All right.
Often judges recuse themselves when there's some sort of potential conflict with overseeing a particular case. Could you please mention specifically what cases you would expect to recuse yourself from if you're elected?
Yes, thank you, Pat. So there are no specific cases that I would automatically recuse myself from just because of the type of the case. Obviously, I'd recuse myself if it was a close personal friend or family member or something that I had personal knowledge of, which would be required of any judge by the canons of ethics. Additionally, as the current district attorney, I'd have to recuse myself from the current criminal cases for a few months until new cases start to come in. And that's due to me having information about these cases that might not be presented to the judge or the court overseeing that case. And this is similar to what Judge Cherry and Judge Ehrman and Judge Riley did when they became judge, because they were all the sitting district attorney when they were elected. And as everybody, I think, knows at this point, there is a large custody divorce, CYS, and civil docket. So if I have to recuse myself from some criminal cases for a period of time, that won't mean that I'll be bored. There will be a full-time schedule for me to handle.
That's for sure. Josh Maines, often judges recuse themselves when there's some sort of potential conflict with overseeing a particular case. Could you please mention specifically what cases you would expect to recuse yourself from if you're elected?
Thank you. Yes, I believe the rules of judicial conduct kind of set forth the instances where a judge should recuse and disqualify themselves. You know, close family, close friends that are involved in a case in any way, as a witness, as a stakeholder. Obviously, that's a case where I would disqualify myself from that and recuse. And if I had a financial interest in the disposition of a case, obviously I would have to recuse myself. There are various types of cases. Mr. Sayers had mentioned, you know, I have a caseload in Clearfield County right now of different types of cases. I probably would not be able to preside over the cases that I've been involved with, and some of those clients, there may be an appearance of conflict moving forward. So I think that I would just follow the law on that. And of course, if any attorney or party of any case would suspect that a judge is going to not be fair or has a conflict, they can motion for recusal and it can be dealt with. You know, so that's basically where I would be with recusals. If I have some time, I would like to address quickly back to the drug court issue. And I'm happy that we have buy-in, and you hear both of us here today, stating that we're proponents of a program. And as an incoming judge, I'll be happy to work with the district attorney. It's just good to have. You need to have buy-in. You need to have a district attorney's buy-in. You need to have judicial buy-in, and so many other third parties. So I'll look forward to that.
Thank you. Josh, next question. What options are you aware of that would allow for special handling of defendants with mental health issues that would come before your court for a criminal matter?
Well, resources are limited for defendants when it comes to mental health, especially pre-trial, before a person's been sentenced. There are some things a judge can do, and, a judge can order a competency evaluation, a criminal responsibility evaluation, but those types of evaluations are not treatment-focused. They're legal-focused. I think on a case-by-case basis, I would, as judge, agree for cases to be continued, for a defendant to be able to receive treatment if cause is shown. There's also options to modify bail to allow folks who are incarcerated pretrial to enter an inpatient or otherwise get treatment care in certain situations. Those are options that are available to judges. Of course, after sentencing, you know, a judge can, you know, can order drug and alcohol evaluations, mental health evaluations, those sorts of things, and require folks to follow up on those as part of their probation conditions. Now, saying all this, these are done, you know, kind of in a haphazard way now, but there's no systematic approach. I think a treatment program should have a mental health component. You know, if we want, I think it can be the same structure. You know, if we're going to have a drug treatment program, let's make a mental health component to that for cases that come in where clearly mental health is driving the crime and driving the person into the criminal process. We need to have a way to address those issues alongside substance abuse issues and other matters.
Thank you. Ryan, what options are you aware of that would allow for special handling of defendants with mental health issues that would come before your court for a criminal matter?
Thank you. So Pennsylvania statutes currently have procedures to handle cases where defendants have mental health issues. However, the overall system in Pennsylvania is still lacking in efficiently dealing with these individuals that have mental health issues and co-occurring drug addiction issues pre-sentence. One option that I'd advocate for, and that some counties have, is a mental health court to divert cases prior to sentence. And we do some of this already in Clearfield County, something that I work with defense attorneys in the court on now. But this type of program formally would work with judges, defense attorneys, the DA, service providers to streamline the process for getting defendants evaluated and into the appropriate institution, home, assisted living facility, and or help get them on mental health medications or get their medications corrected to help stabilize them, hopefully outside the Clearfield County Jail where the taxpayer is currently on the hook. This is not to negate their criminal liability. Instead, it will get them to the point that they can stand trial or they can get the help they need to not reoffend. It will also help the citizens of Clearfield County because these individuals will be more stable to either go back out into society or it will protect them by having these individuals institutionalized for however long is necessary to protect not only themselves, but the citizens of Clearfield County. Thank you.
Thank you. Ryan, if you believe that political affiliation, gender, racial, ethnic, class, or other forms of bias can infect our justice system, how will you work to keep your courtroom as bias-free as possible?
I appreciate that question. Thank you, Pat. So all these forms of bias should never, ever infiltrate the justice system. But sadly, we do see this occur around the country on a regular basis on the news, whether it's the judge ignoring the law to benefit one group over another, or use some personal belief to justify a ruling a certain way, or any of the other things that we see in the news. What I'll say to the people of Clearfield County is that I'll keep my courtroom bias-free like I keep the district attorney's office. I've had to deal with investigations into public officials, officials of the opposing political party, members of different religious and ethnic groups, and people from all walks of life. Everyone gets treated the same. It does not matter who you know, what your last name is, what your background is, it's about the facts and the law. And Mr. Maines can attest to this. For almost 6 years now of me being the district attorney, I'm fair to whoever he is representing and every defendant that comes through the system. And even this year, his clients have received no different treatment, even though he's running against me for judge. My job as DA is to apply the facts as the law and to seek justice. As judge, I will apply the facts and the law and make sure that the outcomes are just in my courtroom. Thank you.
Mr. Maines, if you believe that political affiliation, gender, racial, ethnic, class, or other forms of bias can infect the justice system, how will you work to keep your courtroom as bias-free as possible?
Well, I'll be guided in two ways. I'll be guided by the law. I mean, the law requires a judge to make sure that there's no bias that enters the court process. I mean, that's the law. Do not discriminate. The law to not be political, to not pay attention to political activity. As a judge, we're completely banned, you know, from that. We don't let it in our courtrooms. We don't allow it in our lives. The Constitution itself and our laws protect give protections that we have to uphold. So it's the most important thing, to be fair and impartial, free of bias. So I'm guided by the law, but I'm also guided by my conscience. That's the way I'm built. That's the way I was raised. You treat everybody the same. You remain non-political. You treat every person, every matter that comes before me as judge, treat fairly and impartially, to be honest. You know, these are the principles that guide who I am, that guide my personal life, and they will guide me professionally. And I think these are the principles that have guided my campaign. From the very beginning of this campaign, I've worked tirelessly to try to keep it free from political bias and free from other types of bias. I think this is the most non-political job imaginable, the judge of a court of common pleas. You know, so if we're interviewing for this job, which we've been doing for the last 9 months, you know, if I'm using political buzzwords, if I'm engaging in, you know, partisan political activities and pulling politics into this race, well, I'm not doing very well interviewing for this job. You know, so we've done it. I believe I'm proud of my campaign for keeping it clear of politics, focusing on the issues, and that's the way I'm going to be as judge.
Thank you. You've been listening to the Contact program on Connect FM. We've been interviewing Ryan Sayers and Josh Maines, candidates for Common Pleas Court Judge. We're going to wrap up after this message.
LifespanFamilyServices.com provides foster care and adoption services throughout this area. Lifespan helps train you, support you, and works with you to make you a quality foster parent. If you have any interest in fostering, please call us today at 814-375-1314. We have a foster parent here today, and I'd like to ask, what is one thing that you thought was the most important reason to use Lifespan Family Services as your foster care provider?
Whenever my husband and I were researching foster agencies to work with, we were drawn to Lifespan. And then whenever we began to reach out, Lifespan was very responsive in getting back to us and being very patient while they walked us through the steps that we needed to take in order to become approved foster parent.
Was it an easy process?
Yes, with the guidance of our caseworker, we were able to take the trainings, receive our clearances, meet all of our home requirements in a very timely manner.
So folks, if you'd like to foster, we will help you on your journey to become a quality foster parent. LifespanFamilyServices.com.
So we're back on Connect FM, where we're going to wrap up with our final question of judicial candidates Ryan Sayers and Josh Maines. Josh, we're going to ask you this question. What is unique about your credentials that would make you the best option for Clearfield County voters?
Number one, Pat, I believe the answer to that question is experience. I think the experience gap, and with all due respect to Mr. Sayers, I think the experience gap in this race is not close, and it's undeniable. I've done far more. I have far more courtroom experience, tried far more cases in front of juries, both criminally. I've done so many civil trials, and I practiced in so many different areas, far more areas of the law. You know, as a trial attorney, every time we go into court and every time we go to trial, I mean, you're making decisions on the spot. You're under pressure every day, whether it's evidentiary issues, whether it's other types of matters. You're thinking on your feet, and you're thinking of the things that you want the judge to do and the things that the judge needs to rule on. So that's happening. That's been happening for me over the last, over the last couple decades of practice. I just have far more experience in different areas of the law. I have far more experience in different counties and jurisdictions. I practiced in over 30 counties. I've been in front of scores of judges all over the state. So I think that experience gap is real. And like I said, I was a prosecutor for 5.5 to 6 years, about the same time as my opponent has been a prosecutor. And I did a lot of trials, and I was very successful as a prosecutor. I think these are the things that the experience level is different in this case. Also, I have a lot of experience with child and family related courts. I've handled all types of dependency, juvenile delinquency, family law, matters affecting children, and beyond that, I believe that whoever walks into this job, we're going to be doing the lion's share of children and family type work. So I think it's important that you have that experience, and I think it's important that you have the perspective of being of raising kids. I've raised five kids with my wife, Nikki, who will celebrate 25 years of marriage next week. And, you know, we've raised four kids to adulthood. And if you're out there listening and you have kids, you understand what I mean by that perspective. And if we're presiding over those types of matters, that's something that that's unique about my credentials.
Thank you. And Ryan, what would you say is unique about your credentials that would make you the best option for Clearfield County voters?
Thank you, Pat. So Mr. Maines and I both have worked in the public sector, the private sector. We've practiced in many areas of the law, family, domestic, CYS, criminal, defense, prosecution. We both experienced justice systems in other counties. So if you want to kind of call it a square on that. However, I would say that there are two main differences between us in regards to our credentials. First, as the current district attorney, the ultimate decision on investigations and charges falls to me. Mr. Maines, as he said, was an assistant district attorney, and that means the buck did not stop with him. It stopped with the DA at the time, Bill Shaw. For almost 6 years now, I've had the final say in regards to criminal investigations and charges. I have to make decisions, many split-second decisions, each day and night by applying the facts to the law and living with the consequences of my decisions, just like a judge has to every day. The other distinction is that I have years of experience as an administrator, and Judge Cherry will become the present judge in January, and at some point in the next few years, he will have to retire due to the age limit for judges. That means whoever wins this year will become the president judge and be the administrator of the entire judicial system of Clearfield County. As the district attorney, I have to manage my office, but I also have to set policies and procedures for the entire law enforcement community in Clearfield County. Also, I'm the president of the Bucktail Council, Boy Scouts or Scouting America now, and I've been president of the Clearfield YMCA, Clearfield County Bar Association, and Good Samaritan Center. This is an administrative experience that my opponent does not have. And do you want us to go into our closings? Or I know that was in the email. I just didn't know if you wanted me to wrap up.
That's part of it. Okay. I assumed that Josh was wrapping up, but go ahead and take a minute.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know if we'd have another show.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry I didn't make that clear, but go ahead.
Okay. I just want to say in closing to the people of Clearfield County, you deserve to have the most experienced and proven attorney to take the bench as the next judge of the Court of Common Pleas. For almost 6 years now, the people of Clearfield County have entrusted me with the responsibility of being your district attorney. I have a proven track record, not just spoken words or pleasantries, but actual proven experience of being fair and impartial to everyone that comes through the criminal justice system, regardless of who you are. That is the same fairness and partiality and impartiality that I will bring to the bench. And that's why I'm asking for your vote on November 4th to be the next judge. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you. I just wanted to end by saying, you know, when we hear all rise for the judge, we need to know that we made the best choice. We're basically electing a career judge. I want everybody to study their history and study their credentials, and we all must make the best choice on November 4th for judge.